Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
So joining us now from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Abdul Ghani Sabahi. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Do you remember where you were 30 years ago this week?
Actually, from this week is going to be 32 years ago because the mass grave started in Hama, 1980.
And
And
you were a conscript in the Syrian army. Going into the city of Hama in Syria, a city that very few people had heard of outside of Syria.
Yes.
And what were your orders?
Okay, first of all, let me say that I never, ever injure nobody, and I never kill nobody in Hama. Always I used to stay away from the order and too far because I don't want, and I got too many orders actually to kill people, to shoot people, but always I would excuse too many reasons to I don't want to be involved to kill anybody because the human being is too much to me. It's I can't do it because I'm my heart, I can't do it. My heart doesn't accept that.
Well, he's 50 years old now. He lives in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. But 30 years ago, he was in the city of Hama as a Syrian conscript and was part of a massacre, even though he says he didn't kill anyone, part of a massacre of 10 to 40,000 people who were killed at the orders of Hafez al-Assad, the father of the current president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad. The city of Hama is a symbol of both the uprising today and the brutality of the Assad regime back in the 1980s. Abdul Ghani Sabahi, why did you not kill anyone, and what did you witness in Hama?
Because all these people, it's innocent people. I cannot kill just innocent people. This is my own people, like America, my own people too. I cannot kill nobody. It's innocent people. You cannot just kill somebody, take him from the house and kill him. This is a criminal. This is no good.
But you saw soldiers around you doing exactly that.
Yes, of course, yes, too many, yes. We were like 45,000 soldiers from Wahdat Khassa only, and then we have Rafat al-Assad, he has like a couple thousand more, and Adnan al-Assad, his cousin, Hafez al-Assad's cousin, he has a couple thousand more in the Hama city. Yes, of course, I see everything in my eyes. I stay from 1979 to 1983, I am a soldier. Then in 1983, I released from the military.
And the brutality of the Assads, do you think about it today as you look at the headlines coming out of Syria and the 10-month crackdown where really only 5,000 have been killed, which is an outrageous number, but compared to the 40,000 who died in Hama, it seems small compared to what you experienced.
Yes, actually, let me say that first. You keep saying 10,000 to 40,000 in Hama. This is wrong number. Actually, the publication was in Hama in 1980, 350,000 people. And actually, Wahdat Khassa, the special forces, they kill third of this number. It's like over 100,000 people. I know this is big number, but this is what happened, actually. They kill everybody. They kill Christian people. They kill, doctor, lawyer, student, people. You know, it's unbelievable. This is not 40,000. It's believe me, it's 100,000 people got killed in Hama. Let me say that again. Now, what you see in Syria now, it's not 5,000 people get killed. It's over 60 or 70,000 people get killed now. And because now anything happened in Syria, they send it outside Syria and everybody knows. Can you imagine with all this, video and all this talking in the Jazeera or CNN or anywhere, he keep killing people every day, hundreds of hundreds.
We're talking with Abdel Ghani Sabahi, who was a Syrian soldier from 1979 to 1983. He witnessed the brutality in the city of Hama in the 1980s, which resulted in as many, as he says, more than 100,000 dead. But whatever the number, a humanitarian disaster then and a humanitarian crisis today. Hold on the line there in Fort Lauderdale, Abdel Ghani. We're going to bring in Tim Wewell, who's a correspondent for our partner, the BBC, in London. Tim has just returned from Syria and can give us a sense of the difficulty of reporting there. First of all, welcome to the program, Tim.
Welcome. Nice to hear you.
React, if you will, to the words and these charges that Abdel Ghani Sabahi has made about the number of dead in Syria.
Well, I must say, those numbers to me sound, that Abdel Ghani is quoting, sound to me on the high side. I mean, certainly the UN reached a figure in December of about 5,000 killed in the current 10, now nearly 11 months of this uprising. The UN now says it's stopped counting, but we think probably, and certainly human rights activists do attempt, and it's difficult, but they do attempt to record these deaths as carefully and scrupulously as they can in difficult circumstances. But they say, I think, we're probably up to about 6,000 now in the current uprising. And as you said, we don't know how many were killed in Hama 30 years ago, but any estimates are given, 10,000, 20,000. Certainly the estimates that are given for then, 30 years ago, are higher than the total estimates for now.
Let's give a tangible sense of the ambiguity that you speak of. Tim Hewell is a correspondent for our partner, the BBC. It is often impossible to understand what is happening moment to moment in Damascus. And here's one of your dispatches as recently as last week.
We're moving off very fast now, because simply a street sweeper came along.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's a bit stressful.
Sure is. For me, to be operating like this as a journalist, even for a few days, is very stressful. Merely to find anywhere at all where you can talk, the idea that even sitting in a parked car in a street in itself is highly suspicious would never even have occurred to me before.
Tim Hewell, what was going on in that moment? What were you trying to determine about the uprising?
Well, just to give you an idea of how difficult it is, and you've got a slight flavour there of how difficult it is to meet opposition activists in Damascus, I'll just take you through that story, how we did that. We normally operated, we were obliged to operate normally with government minders. On this occasion, we've managed to lose the government minder because we were back at the hotel. Then in order to leave the hotel, where of course there are government spooks, goons really outside the door watching where everybody's going, we announced very loudly that we were going shopping. We then met a contact at a prearranged place outside a fashion store, a department store. We didn't acknowledge the contact that we met. We just kind of glanced at one another. And then, as prearranged, a car pulled up without speaking. We got into the car. We didn't know where we were going. We were driven off. That was on one occasion. On another occasion, like you heard just then in the clip, we drove round and round Damascus, simply looking for a place where we could conduct with this opposition activist a radio interview. And basically, you wouldn't think it was very noticeable or very difficult to be in a dark and quiet street with a radio microphone, also fairly unobtrusive. But the people we were with were so edgy, so nervous, every few minutes they wanted to move on to another place. Even, for example, a street sweeper came along. Like, there's lots and lots of street sweepers in Damascus. That made them really nervous because they said almost every street sweeper in this city works for the Mukhabarat, the secret police.
The secret police and tips people off. That's Tim Hewell, a correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Abdel Ghani Sabahi, how do you have hope for the people of Syria right now in this diplomatic battle that's taking place in New York, calling for President Assad to step down? How can you have hope?
I have very big hope to have a freedom very soon. And I just want to respond to the gentleman. He said something about, the high numbers. I want to ask him, did he hear from United Nations said 40,000 people in Syria? They don't know where it is. 40,000 people. It's not in jail and not in the street. 40,000 people, they don't know where it is. This 40,000 people, Bashar al-Assad killed him. So this is, you have to count it as a dead people.
So the missing, you presume, the missing, the tens of thousands that are missing, you presume they're simply dead. How many more will have to die before there's freedom, Abdul Ghani?
I think we should take action right away, and United States and Europe has to do something, because the meeting in United Nations, what happened yesterday, I don't like it. I don't know why. It's not enough.
It's not enough in your
exactly.
View.
It seemed to me it's not going to stop the war, this meeting.
All right, Abdul Ghani, we're going to end the hour here, but we want to note that 30 years ago you were witnessing the brutality and the slaughter that took place in the city of Hama that's really become a symbol of the uprising in Syria today. Tim Weatherill, a final word in the last few seconds.
Well, I fear the situation will really only get worse. We see in some ways the opposition and the Free Syrian Army, who are the kind of defectors, the people from the regular troops who refuse to fire on their own people, exactly like Abdul Ghani himself did 30 years ago.
But so those defections are going to have to increase significantly if this uprising is going to go anywhere. Tim Huell, correspondent for our partner, the BBC, recently in Syria, and Abdul Ghani Sabani, a witness of the massacre in Hama. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.